Good evening. It's February the 15th of 2020. Thank you for joining me. I appreciate it. So, do you really believe Donald Trump, the President of the United States, President Donald Trump, whatever you want to call him, do you really believe that he's in favor of our Second Amendment gun rights? Now, let me have you think about it. Because apparently, Donald Trump may provide the appearance that he cares about our Second Amendment gun rights and all that. But that's until he goes on the media every time there's a shooting somewhere, which is very rare in our country, especially in, you know, since the 90s. I mean, there was technically more school shootings and massacres in the 90s than there is currently. There's hardly ever a gunfight that goes on in this country. And most school shootings, or mass shootings as they're now called, that do occur, because they occur in so many areas which are gun-free zones, in most of them, tend to happen because, well, they can't defend themselves, number one, and maybe the people that take their anger out on those people actually realize that those people can't defend themselves. But when Donald Trump, and I'm digressing, but let me get back on track here. When Donald Trump, he's been on the news in the past, and he stated, especially every time this kind of stuff goes on, he'll go, well, we shouldn't have gun rights. Or, I mean, maybe he doesn't say it in that sense, but he'll say something like, all right, so we should take the guns away, due process later, is what he was referring to in the past in several interviews, but I don't have the direct sources on me now. I know he's been on the news at least once or twice where he stated, well, that we should just take the guns away from people that are looking to impose force on others. In other words, instead of actually seeing whether the person is guilty or not, instead of giving him a fair trial and having him prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, and once he's found guilty, then take his guns away, or hers, or whatever. It's no, let's take the guns away first, due process second, and let's have people report and all this baloney. In other words, red flag laws. In other words, gun control. That's what he supports. And then he turns around because he doesn't like what Chris Cuomo has to say, right? A news anchor on CNN that apparently also doesn't support the Second Amendment. And he thinks that even that guy, because he doesn't like what he has to say, should not have a firearm or a gun. And this is, I'm not making this up. This is exactly what Donald Trump thinks. This is exactly what he says. And people turn around and say, oh, but he supports the Second Amendment and he supports our gun rights. Well, I don't think so. I doubt he does. Because if he did, why would it take him almost 2-3 years of the first 2-3 years that he's been in office to, or at least 2 years minimum, to withdraw us from the small arms treaty that we had going on with Europe that was supposedly rammed through without Senate approval because they gave their powers, because they came up with some laws under the Obama administration that says, okay, President Obama, you can do whatever you want with ratifying it. So I think, you know, Donald Trump is a disaster as far as gun rights is concerned. But what gets me is how almost every single conservative that claims to support the Second Amendment and our gun rights also seems to think that Donald Trump supports our Second Amendment gun rights. And I think they're just saying that because he's a Republican. And Republicans are supposed to be in favor of the Second Amendment. So it's more or less based on that than it is on the actual evidence that Donald Trump actually supports our Second Amendment gun rights. Because I feel if he really did, he wouldn't be saying making such comments like that about, well, Chris Cuomo shouldn't have a gun. I mean, and I'll tell you, even Chuck Baldwin, who's a very well-known conservative and has been a member of the Constitution Party for years, and actually ran for the for president on behalf of the Constitution Party in 2008. He was nominated by the party, by their party convention delegates. He turned around and said, "Look, Donald Trump does not support our Second Amendment gun rights," and he made those quotes and he that Donald Trump said, and he made it well known that, you know, Donald Trump doesn't support the Second Amendment. And here's the deal. The Constitution Party is probably the fifth largest political party growing behind the Green and Libertarian parties. I would say that the Libertarian Party is the third largest political party growing. And you have the Green Party and the Constitution Party, but between them two, they're kind of more or less neck to neck on growth. But I mean, but Chuck Baldwin's been a supporter of the Constitution Party for many years. He still is. And, you know, let's be honest, the Constitution Party is probably the third largest conservative political party behind the Conservative Party and the Republican Party. So even with that, they have probably about 10 or 15% of the conservative base, maybe five. I don't know how many they actually have, but they probably have anywhere between 5 to 15% of the conservative base, with 25% remainder for the Republican Party. And Republican Party, when you have the Republican Party coming out and saying this, when look, the Conservative Party, the Constitution Party, they've kind of made it clear Donald Trump doesn't support our Second Amendment gun rights. Old school socialists on the left, with regards to Green Party, have come out in support of our Second Amendment gun rights, and so, as such, including Howie Hawkins, and many of them do tend to support the Second Amendment, but others, the more new school radical socialists, don't. But that's a side issue, and I'm not going into that because I'm not a liberal and I'm not a socialist. I'm a libertarian. I'm a minarchist libertarian, if that. But I'll make it clear. I'm trying. I mean, I've made it clear in my past video discussions that I don't like the president's policies. I think his foreign policy is disastrous. I think as far as going to war and having to have all these enemies like Russia, China, you know, Iran, you know. And now Venezuela and Cuba, it's like we always got to have a boogeyman and someone to bully and someone to have put impose sanctions on. And by the way, sanctions don't do anything for to impede political dictators from those countries. What they do is they punish the poorest people in peoples in those countries, and then all that leader has to do is turn around and say, well, guess what? Because the United States has done this, you must support us. We're going to unite. We're gonna punish big bad America, and then they all unite, and that's usually how it ends up. Especially with Iran, and since we assassinated Soleimani for supposedly attempting to meet with one or two of the other countries. I think he was going to meet with Saudi Arabia and Israel, and I think Iraqi's prime minister at the time was going to moderate in this meeting to try to make alliances, and then we turned around and bombed the crap out of him, killed him, so he could no longer take part, so that meeting couldn't happen, and I don't know what. And the whole thing was ridiculous. And then the Trump tried to say, well, it was because he was trying to make threats to our service members who shouldn't have been in the region to begin with. So, and the fact that we've built an embassy in Iraq that's bigger than the Vatican and costs us billions of dollars is in itself mind-blowing, like his whole foreign policy. And it's actually kind of similar to that of Obama's, because Obama tried to, you know, bomb, and you know, they all do it, you know. I mean, Bush has done it, but that's the thing. Do you want a Democrat? Do you want a Republican? Do you really want, because you're either way, you're going to get more wars, more debt, and I guess to some extent, more high taxes and high regulations and high, I mean, yes, he's cut some regulations, but he's also imposed others, including with regards to immigration. Yes, he has lowered taxes, but he's increased taxes in other areas, and especially by imposing tariffs on other countries, and which oftentimes leads to wars. And if they don't lead to wars, they lead to some other permanent leaning in terms of their people staying in power and all that. So it's detrimental to for encouragement, and I think we ought to be make friends with who we have as our enemies, in terms of Iran and Saudi Arabia and all, like, everybody. We should be friends with North Korea and, you know, free trade, you know, like with China and Russia and Iran and North Korea and Cuba and Venezuela. Try to make allies with them and friends with them. Try to, and also with South Korea and also with the EU and with Great Britain and all that. Let's all be friends. Let's have free trade. Let's have free trade, and then let's allow each ourselves to freely trade with our neighbors, our loved ones, and in other countries, etc. But and I think that will do a lot more to disrupt dictatorships in certain countries, like maybe North Korea or maybe Iran, or which we kind of helped put into place in the first place. But we can help also dismantle it by being a country of peace rather than a country that's always at war with somebody or some country. And I'll tell you this much, Trump has also wasted everyone's time by having Congress pass the Space Force, which he signed into law, and he could have vetoed, but he made it clear he wanted the Space Force. So I think in so many ways, Trump has increased spending, he's increased taxes in so many other areas, especially with tariffs that he's imposed on other countries. And it's quite clear he doesn't support the Second Amendment or our Second Amendment gun rights. And so I feel, you know, yes, he may get reelected, and that's always a strong possibility. Yes, he was vindicated by the Senate, even though he was guilty in my eyes. Right, in terms of make trying to tell some of these countries, like I think it, what was it? He told a country that I think it was I can't remember the name of the country now that I think about it, but he told them, if you stay, if I get reelected, you'll get military support. Essentially blackmailing the Ukraine. Because that's who he, yeah, that's what it was, Ukraine. He told one of their leaders that. And it's like, if that's not, that's called blackmail. And that's what he was getting impeached about. And then the Republicans turn around and exonerate him for that, as if, you know, and deny witnesses to set to step up and all that. I mean, this is what a joke the Republican Party has become. And unfortunately, that's what you're going to get when you vote Republican. And if you vote Democrats, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to get more gun control. You're going to get more socialism and universal health care or single payer healthcare system, or whatever you want to call it. You're going to get more of that and more of the high regulation and taxation and telling businesses what they can and can't do, and just a whole and homeowners and small businesses, etc., etc., etc. And so I and with Trump, you're going to get, oh, Corporation A can get corporate welfare and be propped it up while Corporation B and C collapses and we do nothing for them. When in reality, if we just let these corporations and companies and all that self-regulate themselves as much as possible, and we don't prop them up and don't and let them actually fail, we might actually get somewhere with an improved economy. If we actually got rid of the Federal Reserves, which President Trump has made clear he will not do, and he will not get rid of the printing presses, and he will not get rid of the FBI and the CIA and the NSA and Homeland Security and all this other shit that we don't need, or all this other garbage. So I think it's quite clear. Trump is for big government. Whether you like it or not, I'm saying it, and too bad if you don't like it. I'm saying it because it's the truth. It's the truth. Trump supports big government and corporatism. And he is just as much in favor of that as the Democrats are on the left. And I have no time in my life for left-right paradox. The paradox of you either have to vote Democrat or Republican. You have to either have to vote this way or that way, or you be a moderate, and then you still have to vote Democrat, Republican. And if you're a libertarian, why would you want to vote Republican? I mean, even when Ron Paul ran in 2012, they rigged the whole thing so that Mitt Romney would get the nomination. Even almost everyone in the room were Ron Paul supporters. So I mean, come on, it's quite clear that even before Trump even got elected or even ran, this was how the Republican Party always has been. And the Democrats do it too, with their super delegates and oh, they have to vote for whoever, all the, Of course, the Republican Party changed the rules at the last minute so that all the delegates that Ron Paul had became null and void. So again, and they're private parties, they can do whatever they want, but that also should send a message to anybody who supports liberty. Maybe it's time we support the Libertarian Party or some other party that believes in our views, that isn't going to do what the Republicans and the Democrats have done in recent years. And with that said, if you like what you hear, please hit the subscribe button, the notification bell on YouTube, and you'll be notified as soon as a new video gets uploaded. I'm Michael J. Long, and thank you for joining me. I appreciate it.